This is the Voice of America's continuing coverage of the flight of Apollo 15, man's fourth visit to the lunar surface. Astronauts David Scott and James Irwin are continuing their second traverse by lunar rover en route to and later along the foot of the Apennine Mountains, where they are carrying out further geological investigations and photography. For a running account of this second EVA excursion, we take you now to the Manned Spacecraft Center at Houston and VOA space correspondent Rhett Turner.
The astronauts are still driving south on the rover. They're beginning to turn a bit to the southeast. They've arrived down along the mountain front. If you happen to have a map of this whole Hadley Rill landing site, Hadley Apennine landing site, they have driven about 4 kilometers south of their landing site where the limb is located. They've now turned to the southeast, just past what is called Spur Crater. They just a moment ago mentioned that they could see Spur Crater, and they still have another 15 or 20 minutes to get there. They passed a large crater called Dune Crater, and as they came up over the crater rim, which to them was a big hill, they could see all sorts of landmarks to pinpoint their exact location, so we know exactly where they are now. Here's Dave Scott.
To us right now, and it's sort of tough to see any differences in the rock types. They all look relatively the same.
Roger, we copy, and press on, troops, with the description. It's beautiful.
He says the sun is about 45 degrees to us now, which means they're moving in a southeasterly direction.
We're at 347 on bearing and 3.9 on the range.
With us again, astronaut Fred Hayes, who also is training to drive one of these lunar rovers.
Good for driving, isn't it, Dave? Yeah, it's a lot better here.
They're down along the front area, and apparently it's smoother driving toward the southeast.
We just went by. You know, we just changed terrain type almost distinctly there, Jim. Yeah. You know, we don't have the deep craters anymore. The deepest around here may be half a meter or so, and we don't have the rocks, the debris on the surface, just a few. As a matter of fact, right here at 347 range 4.0, it's pretty smooth.
They've crossed the contact, is what Dave's trying to say, where they've changed quite dramatically the surface terrain that they're traversing.
They're between checkpoints 2 and checkpoints 3, according to our last information from them, looking at our chart.
Yeah, 11:30. But I guess our primary objective is the crater.
It's still about 2 kilometers from front crater.
Boy, that's a big mountain when you're down here looking up, isn't it? My, oh my.
That mountain tower is right above them, some 5,000 meters, and they're right at the foot of the rise.
Dave, do you see Spur as you look up there?
The crater's in that one directly ahead.
Spur, as you look up
there? Oh, yeah, I see what you mean, Dave.
Yeah?
Yeah, there are, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, at least 4, lined up, going upslope. Yeah, right on the wall of the crater, yeah. Just perfectly linear and perfectly uniform craters, little ones, maybe. Yeah, but look, there's a rock just below those. I wonder if it could have bounced. No, it couldn't have made that many.
Scott and Irwin talking to each other.
At the base of the front, we're going down into a little depression that runs along the front. We came over another north-south trending ridge, and we're going down a little bit, and then we're going to start up again. Be interesting to see what happens to the rover speed here as we start up slope. Yeah. We are starting up slope.
I don't think they heard that question from
I
Joe Allen.
3 to 5 degrees.
3 to 5 degrees,
yep.
Slope, that's
okay,
good.
Take a little lean to the left here. Oh, those weren't very big holes at all, were they? Just a shadow made them look.
The low sun angle.
What was the bearing on that chain of craters you described?
Joe, it was just a very subtle little maybe half-foot craters in the size of a 4-meter crater that showed up very well in the shadow.
And okay.
That was just at our 348 for 4.3,
okay.
Where we are right now.
He's describing how far away, 3.8 to 4.3 kilometers away from the land.
And see which way we ought to head. You know, Dave, if we could make it out that far directly ahead of us, look at the large blocks. You mean it come down slope? Yeah, at 12 o'clock. No, the antenna's in my way. Okay, that's as good a way as any. We'll head 140 from here.
He's talking about some large blocks that look
that
geologically
sounds good.
Interesting.
And can you see spurs as you look up the slope?
Another question about Spur Crater from
yes, sir, get ahead. It's very visible and right up on the side about 5% up the slope of Hadley Delta. There's a very large block on the surface all by itself, very large being, it must be 5 meters, huh, Jim?
The one at 12 o'clock?
Yeah.
Oh, I bet you that's, I'd say five times that size, because that's another 3 kilometers down there.
Well, I'd buy anything. It sure looks big.
Yeah.
I was trying to be conservative.
They're really turned on, aren't they, Fred?
Yeah, that'd be a big block, right? About 75 feet. Jim's right, 25 meters.
Rover, we're standing by for your mark when you roll.
Get this.
They've stopped momentarily there.
Oh, I'm sorry, Joe. We rolled about a minute ago.
Oh, he is underway again.
No problem.
347 for 4.4. A little depression here, Jim.
Dave and...
I have a feeling we're leaning left.
As they move in this southeasterly direction, they very well may be leaning
left.
Stop, the mountain goes up to the right.
To the left there and see how the slope rises abruptly up to there, to Hadley Delta.
You're right.
Like we're driving in a valley.
That was Jim Irwin's voice.
Dave and Jim, what would you think of the suggestion of going to Spur directly from your present position and use that as your first station?
Yeah, I think that might be a good idea, Joe. Let us get out and do a little geology and take a look around. I think, Jim, wouldn't Spur be right about 12:30 to us?
Yeah.
They're going farther up the slope than we had expected at this point.
Yes,
do you have some coordinates for Spur, Joe?
It looks like they'll be able to negotiate that after getting a first-hand close-up look at it. They didn't figure maybe they could.
Now, this is where the flight planning was gave them considerable leeway, isn't it?
Yes.
Once they saw how steep the front was, then it's up to the astronauts how much of this they negotiate. But this crater into the side of the mountain area is geologically interesting.
Bearing 346, range 4.6.
Oh, where's Spur then? Where's Spur? Well, I don't see it.
He says they're at Spur, but
okay,
I don't see it.
Okay, by that, really, we just mean an equivalent crater. I guess continue your reconnoiter along the front. Sounds good.
Okay. I don't know how high we want to go on the front.
I don't either. We don't want to go too high, I don't think.
That must be maybe to the right there, Spur, huh, Jim?
Okay, I'll buy that, yeah.
Yeah, that's Spur.
Yeah.
Okay, let's head over to this ridge at 11 o'clock. I think that's Spur right over there.
You don't want to hit Spur now?
No, let's go on down to this rise right in front of us, okay?
Okay, we know where Spur is. We're passing it. It's at our 3 o'clock position, and we're bearing 346, 4.7, Joe.
They're about 50 meters higher than the Mare landing site area. So they're considerably up the slope.
Now.
They should be able to see a good distance from here. Moving along the front now.
I think we can do a little contour travel here, Jim, and on the way back, pick up that big block up there.
Okay, in other words, I see what you mean. To angle uphill.
Yeah, angle uphill here.
Yeah, a little bit.
That'll be better. We can probably... Boy, it's right into the sun, isn't it? Hey, you want a map to hold over your eyes? No, it's okay.
He's got a handful of them, isn't he?
Yeah. And you improvise a sunshade.
I'm looking to the left, and I can see Mount Hadley, and the linear patterns in it are really remarkable, dipping to the northwest.
He's looking way back to the north.
The pattern runs from the very top. Well, the whole mountain
has the same pattern, linear pattern.
Roger, Jim.
Dave Scott and Jim Irwin driving on the lunar rover. They're up on the slope of the Hadley front to the south of the landing site. Fred, they're giving us so much reportage, there isn't much for us to comment on.
You're right.
It's going
yeah.
beautifully, isn't it?
When we looked at the spur on Hadley.
Okay.
Vivid descriptions from these two exuberant astronauts on the moon.
The ridge line here at 1 o'clock. I think that's where I'll head, Jim. We'll call that somewhere or another. And, you know, I could see an inflection point here as we go upslope. Another inflection point.
A change in the contour.
Just above us here. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is what Dave meant.
How far east do we want to go? Well, I think this ought to do it.
Dave and Jim, the first thing we need is just a good sampling stop to get a general look around, and we want a crater-like spur or anything similar, but one that's provided a lot of frags for us and perhaps a lot of rock types to sample.
They are going to stop then before they get to front crater.
Well, we haven't seen any of the size of spur just yet. There aren't any like that, Joe. Just aren't any. They're all very subtle up here.
Okay, Dave, I guess we want to continue on towards the east, and keep your eyes open.
Well, we're up on a little ridge here.
That last comment obviously wasn't necessary.
I think it would do well for us to stop here and sample the rocks we can see in this area, and then head over to that boulder there, see how we do, okay?
Okay.
What do you think about that, Joe?
Looks like they are going to stop here pretty soon.
Okay, Dave, that sounds good. However, we're interested now in typical rock types and hopefully an area that's going to have a lot of fragments around it, not necessarily just one boulder.
This is a scientist astronaut giving those instructions.
Yeah, we have a number of fragments in our local area, none having really been excavated from a particular crater. There is no crater up here which has excavated a lot of debris. They're all very subtle and old, but there are rocks on the surface, so I think our best shot here is to hop off and gather up a number of these rocks in our vicinity. I bet we can get 10, 12 very easy, and then think about that.
Okay, that sounds great. Let's press on.
There's one of those very fresh craters over at 11 o'clock. Too.
Yeah,
you're right.
They're looking for the spot to stop.
Okay, rover powers off.
Rover powers off.
Bearing is vacuum lap. Okay.
Rover powers off.
Okay, Joe, here's some readings. 195-343-065-050-92-100.
Stop the rover.
7.
Getting ready to get off now.
81.
This is the condition of the rover.
And motor temps are both off scale low.
Roger, copy. Cool. Motors.
Now that they have, now that the astronauts have stopped the lunar rover, they will align the antenna toward the Earth, and the television camera will come on, and then the mission control will operate that camera, and many of us here on Earth will be able to see this very interesting spot you've heard described. Well, Fred Hayes, it looks like they've certainly gotten off to a very good start here. And thank you very much for sitting in with us on this broadcast. We'll continue more later from Mission Control in Houston.
You're listening to the Voice of America's coverage of the flight of Apollo 15, now 143 hours 56 minutes into the mission. Astronauts Scott and Irwin, as you have heard, are continuing their second traverse by lunar rover along the foot of the Apennine Mountains, picking up rock samples and taking photographs. The astronauts' trip today has been shortened by about half an hour. The Voice of America will return to the air with its special coverage 1 hour from now at 14 hours 30 Greenwich Mean Time for a further report on the second traverse of the lunar rover. Our thanks to Fred Hayes, VOA space correspondent Rhett Turner at the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston. This is Les Higby at the Apollo News Center. This program has come to you from the United States of America.